Joining us now, we've got a guest who has a book out that I think you're going to find interesting. It's called Connecticut in Crisis Policy Challenges in the 2018 Contest for Governor. Professor Gary Rose joins us from the Political Science and Global Studies Department, something like that, at Sacred Heart University. Professor, thanks for being here on WTIC.
I'm glad to be here. How are you?
Good. Tell us about what we can learn from your book. What are the things we don't know about the election that transpired that we should?
Well, the election itself, I think, included some very interesting and new developments that we have yet to see here in Connecticut politics. You know, we've had two businessmen running for governor. Ned Lamont only held, of course, some minor local offices, but never was a major office holder. And then we had on the Democratic side, on the Republican side, Bob Stefanowski never held public office. And both were, of course, exceptionally wealthy individuals. And so we really had this entrepreneurial candidates running for governor this time, as opposed to in the past where we've had at least one of the candidates, you know, has really been a longtime public servant, such as Dan Malloy. You know, he was mayor of Stamford. And then on another note here, which I think was...
Well, wait a second. Bad. Why do you mention that? What's the significance of that?
Well, it just shows that I think that we are in a state of, I use the word crisis here, that we seem to be turning to people with business experience, you know, people who are coming out of the private sector to solve some of our problems. And I think that that is very significant. And, you know, if you look at some of the other individuals who ran for office this time around, a lot of them that didn't succeed were public office holders.
But it's so interesting you're mentioning this, because I was having a conversation about it today with a former elected official in the state. And what I see going on is that because of the rigged election system, where you can't just raise money and run for office anymore, you have to go through this state funding system, or you come in with a lot of your own money, that there will not be any more candidates coming from elected office because they can't bring enough money into the race fast enough to be able to fight off a rich guy who on day one can start spending as much money as he wants, like Ned Lamont did. So, and Stefanowski won the nomination the same way. He went first onto TV and had the thing locked up within a couple of weeks.
Well, I don't know if you could say Stefanowski had it locked up. I mean, there was really a five-way contest there, and he only won 29% of the primary.
Yes,
vote.
But he won easily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was easily. He did have, as you say, he had a big jump on the other in terms of advertising. But nevertheless, you know, Boughton gave him certainly a run for his money. And
well, I believe he won by eight points or 8.5 points in the primary.
I
mean, so he won a comfortable victory. But you're right, in a primary with multiple people, anything can happen. All I'm saying is they've passed a law now that gives a big advantage, it seems to me, to people who can come in and spend their own money, write their own checks, and not worry about waiting weeks or months. I mean, Sitnik basically had his campaign destroyed by the state being so slow to give him his money.
Yeah, there was an investigation there because of a super PAC that they felt it was a little too close to his own fundraising operation. But he was cleared of that, of course. But, you know, it is interesting that, you know, we do have people that can clear the field pretty quickly because of their money, like Ned Lamont. But I'm not so sure that the public funding system is going to be as archaic as you suggest.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just suggesting that it seems to me that it gives an advantage to people going in with being able to write their own checks, because...
Well, it does. It most certainly does. And you can get on TV very early, as you say, and you get to become a household name.
All right, Dr. Rose, hold on one second. We've just got to get a quick traffic and weather update, and then we'll have a chunk of time to talk. We're talking with Professor Gary Rose, Sacred Heart University. in Connecticut. We'll talk more after traffic and weather together on the 8th. Mike Allen with an update on the commute. Mike. All right, we'll talk more with Professor Rose. So tell us what else is in your book about, and why is Connecticut in crisis? What is the evidence of crisis? Are you saying that the businessmen being the preference of the voters is some sort of cleansing of the system?
Well, I don't know if it's cleansing, but it certainly is, I think, a new approach, you know, where the voters are looking for somebody who can start doing some creative things to get this state out of the... you know, out of the problems that it's been experiencing. And, you know, you asked, why is Connecticut in crisis? And I just call your attention to really the, you know, the policy challenges that I examined in this book. And, you know, I was, as I've said before to others, I was hesitant, you know, to use the word crisis. But by the time I was done researching all of these policy dilemmas that we're facing, I felt that was a more appropriate term, but
so you were talked into that term by the circumstances.
The circumstances really, really called for the word crisis. It really did. And, you know, we have a business environment, as I examine in chapter one, that is sluggish compared to other New England states. You know, we haven't really come completely out of this recession yet, while other states have. Our taxes, we are rated so highly, you know, in terms of the tax policies and how they're imposed on our residents. And we are a heavily, heavily taxed citizenry. And I think that's at the root of some of the problems. You know, we have cities that are in distress right now and which are increasingly showing signs of a lot of stress. Our infrastructure, this is one thing that really, you know, amazed me is I examined the studies done out of outside firms, you know, that rate states.
Yes.
Absolutely. The worst roads, some of the worst roads and bridges in the country. And it's amazing how poorly we're ranked on that.
Well, why is the state in such a bad situation? Yeah. And why? So the thing that I find shocking and has been a revelation for me, I've only been on the air in the state for a couple of years, 2.5 years.
Okay.
And, and so I'm just coming to understand how corrupt government can be, because this is the most corrupt government I've ever seen. And the thing that triggered my understanding of just how corrupt it is that the Democrats won this election and they were so shocked and delighted that they went about trying to double down, triple down, whatever you want to call it, on all of the things that have created the malaise, it seems to me, that you're describing. And maybe you disagree, and if so, say so, but the taxes are too high. They want to raise taxes. The infrastructure is bad. Why is the infrastructure bad? The financing has been there. The money has been spent. What have they done with it? When you start to examine all these things, what you see is a government that has no interest in changing things because they win elections. So why would they change?
Well, you know, entitlements are a big part of the problem right there.
But they won't challenge, they won't cut any spending. Why is that?
I know that, well, again, for political reasons, that's largely the...
Okay, so your assessment is the same as mine, that we have, the government is being run for the benefit of the political parties and for the elected officials, not for the best interests of the state, not for the taxpayers of the state.
Well, that's a pretty broad statement. But I would say that, you know, when we look at the pension liabilities that's facing those lawmakers up in Hartford, you do have to wonder just how close the public employee unions are to the lawmaking process.
Well, there's nothing to wonder. We know it's a totally rigged system. The reason that those unions exist is for the purpose of rigging elections. That's what they do. And that's why they are paid off in the way they are paid off, are they not? Do you disagree?
Well, no. You know, I cite in my book a columnist here who suggested that unions, I don't know if this is 100% true, but that the unions actually, the public employees, that is, they get paid holidays and paid vacation days on election day to go work the precincts. I don't know if that's accurate, but I quoted that in the book. In fact, the gentleman that I quoted has a copy of the book, and then he wrote to me about that and documented and indicated that when he ran for office once, he could see that. And so, Yeah, we the entitlement problem. A lot of the budget is so fixed you can't touch it. You know, Medicaid, the pension liabilities, the debt service. About 50% of our budget is spoken for already. There's very little room for creativity, or in the general fund. And you talk about why is our infrastructure so bad? Well, the special transportation fund has been raided over the years.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So this is the result they have created through their intentional decisions. We're talking to Dr. Gary Rose, a professor and chairman of the Department of Government, Politics, and Global Studies at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. His new book is Connecticut in Crisis: Policy Challenges in the 2018 Contest for Governor. So you've written a book that describes the way in which the system is rigged, as Bernie Sanders has put it, to make sure that the power structure gets everything it wants and the people get nothing they need. Is that the premise of your book?
Well, I'm not so sure that's the way I phrased it. No. I did examine five policy problems, and then that was the first half of the book. And then the second half of the book transitions into the contest for governor, indicating what these candidates were up against and what the issues they had to address. And then it concludes with essentially how Ned Lamont won the election, and then it kind of comes back to
how did he win it? What was the key thing?
Well, I think he won it largely due to a couple of major variables at work, and I do look at the Lamont winning coalition, but I think two of the most important was the urban vote. Mm-hmm. Was very much in his favor. And when the results started coming in very late at night, I thought Stefanowski might have won this election. But when I realized that all the urban votes had not been counted yet, I said, oh, I don't think that's going to happen. And then second of all, I would add white women in the suburbs. Stefanowski did close that up somewhat. Mm-hmm. As the election drew near, but nevertheless, that also helped, I think, Ned Lamont win the election. So the suburbs were a real battleground, and I think the white women tipped the balance in some of the suburban towns that were very important. But then add to that the urban vote. It's very difficult. It was
yes, but that's the Democrats' election thing. I mean, the Democrats sculpt the elections based on the union thing we've been talking about, and the super service, the diversion of resources to their key voting blocks. And that's what
they do.
This is nothing new, right? But you're just laying it out for people to see how it impacted here.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that that is,
we've just got 30 seconds, by the way. So make a quick point and then we'll wrap up.
Just a real quick point I would make, though, is that I think that our system has become much more wide open than before. I want to go back to how Bob Stefanowski won his party's nomination by petitioning his way onto a primary ballot.
Yeah, and I think that's how it's going to be from now on. Yeah. All right, Dr. Rose, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the book, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Professor Rose's book is called Connecticut in Crisis: Policy Challenges in the 2018 Contest for Governor. Sounds like good stuff. All the stuff we talk about here, as a matter of fact.